Tonight gotta be a good night.
John, I love you. Funny pastor, get a funny congregation. Anyway, so how many, you remember Amanda gave us a little angel and for act of kindness? How many had that? And how many have been able to use that? We can still do that, you know, an act of kindness is always a good thing. So,
I need to say this one thing, out of kindness. How many know it's good to be kind, right? Kind to one another, kind to yourself. The Scarborough campus, I don't want you to freak out. They did not buy a building. They did not lease a building. It's another rent space that literally it dropped their rent by $500 per month. So they went into this place, all right? So that you know. Now, we'll be pleased to announce that it's going to get a brand new building sometime soon. By faith, we're believing we're going to grow.
Amen.
Right? We don't know when, where, but we believe it's going to happen, right? Okay. All right. Amen.
Amen.
And Jude was the one who helped the Scarborough to find this place, right? So we're going to pray that God's going to find someone to find this place. And we believe it's going to be a debt-free building anyway.
Yeah, we like that free, right? We don't like that. So, Hannah, can you help me with the PowerPoint? What I'm going to share today is that I'm going to share a little bit about what we've been talking about, what we want to do for this year, the theme for the year. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to go very briefly about what does kingdom mean, and then I'm going to talk mostly about the presence, how to pursue his presence, how to go deep in his presence. So we've been talking about the kingdom, to expand your kingdom. What does kingdom mean? The kingdom is that God has come to earth in the person of Jesus. And when Jesus come, he bring all the benefit of heavens to those who believe, and the benefits are salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom, hope, and breakthrough. That is what kingdom is all about. And the next slide is John the Baptist in Mark 1:11. He said, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's what the kingdom is all about. That's what we're talking when we say about the kingdom. And Jesus and Paul also talk a lot about the kingdom. And in the next slide, you will have what Jesus has been talking about. And that was one of Jesus' primary topic. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who need healing. And Paul as well, the next slide, he talked a lot about the kingdom. In Acts 19:8, he entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months. So in the New Testament, you will see that we talk a lot about the kingdom. And but now I'm going to talk mostly about, actually, we're going to go for the next slide. So how does the kingdom expand? It's by us believing its reality, by us engaging in its reality. Next one, please. And now I'm going to talk about how to pursue his presence. This is what I'm going to talk mostly about. I just want to lay a foundation, what kingdom is all about, but I'm going to talk mostly about how to pursue his presence. Why don't we just pray? So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that it is your will for us to pursue your presence, Father God, for each one of us to know who you are, Father God, because you know us. You've created us. But many of us, we don't really know you. We think we know you, but we don't really know you. And we want to pursue your presence, to spend time with you, and get to know you in a way that will bring us to a new level that we've never been before. So, Father, I pray that this message, as we're going to talk about that, Father God, you've created each one of us different, that you're going to customize it. And as I'm going to speak the word, Lord God, you're going to customize it for each one of us the way you want us to hear it, Father God. So, Father, I pray that those who have ears, that we will hear, and all of us, we do have ear, that we will hear what the Spirit is saying. So open our ears to be able to hear, and open our eyes to be able to see what you want us to see. In Jesus' name. So what, all of that, how do we pursue his presence? All of that I'm going to sum it up in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And in that, it talks about how the next one, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So any one of us, if somebody come to you and say, you know what, I don't really know the will of God in my life, I'm telling you, this is the will of God. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I do believe that we're living in 2012, and where God is taking us, we need to adjust our lifestyle so that we can go to where God wants us to go. Because if we don't adjust, we will be stuck to where we are. We won't be able to move forward. I believe that we are building our muscle for where we need to be going. And this verse sums up a lot of things. So I'm going to talk about rejoice always. What does rejoice mean? We all know that happiness depends on circumstances. If circumstances are good, we are happy. Circumstances are not good, we're not that. But rejoice is an inner insight. It is settled deep inside. Where the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we abide in Him, the joy becomes full. The reason the joy is not full is because we're abiding in other things beside God. He said, abide in me and may your joy be full. What are we? Do we have joy right now? Just close your eyes. Do we have joy? Yes, a little bit, not too much. God, what am I abiding into? Who am I abiding into? When we abide in the Lord, that joy will bubble up. And it's not about our circumstances. It's about, it comes within inside. This is a spiritual thing. We're talking about spiritual things. So when it comes inside, it will just bring up. So anything that happens around you will not affect that joy. It's an anchor that will go deep. Because if we don't have that anchor, we are like the boat and it's going in every other direction. When that anchor is here, regardless of what happened, your boat is here. It will stay there and that joy will stay there. It anchors you. So rejoice is a choice. Actually, joy is a choice. I choose to have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Most of us, we like choice, but we don't like choice. We like choice when it's convenient for us. We don't like choice when we have to do it. All of us are a little bit like that. Some a little bit more, some a little bit less. When it's convenient, oh, I need to be able to choose. I mean, come on, this is, a free country. I have to be able to, and it is good to have freedom to choose when it's convenient for us. When it comes to the joy of the Lord, it is actually a choice that we're going to make. If we're going to allow and rejoice always, and it says there are two words that is really, really key here, rejoice and always. That is quite strong, really, if you think about it. Rejoice always, because not always things are right. Not always things are fair. How many have seen unfairness going on? How many have seen things that, you know, were not supposed to be and they are happening? And the Bible says, rejoice always. These are the discipline that God is teaching us so that it will enrich our own life. And we need to learn about that. We need to meditate on the word of God about that. If you read Psalm 1, it says meditate on the word day and night. As we meditate on that, it becomes part of us. But if we just hear it and go, then you know what? It doesn't sink in deep. So I encourage you to meditate on the word of the Lord and do not depart from it. Meditate. God, what does rejoice always mean? What does it mean? Show me what it means, because He will show you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We can hear a teaching, but when He comes and He shows it to you, it will change your life forever. Nothing is going to be able to steal that from you. So we rejoice always. And in Psalm 68, 3 on the ninth slide, we talk about the righteousness. Slide number 9, Anna. The next one, please. He said, but may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. may they be happy and joyful. Like we all know about a lot of verses about the righteous. The righteous are going to get, you know, the wealth of the wicked are going to go to the righteous. Hallelujah, I'm the righteousness of God. But what does righteousness mean? To be in proper alignment with God. So if we want to be the righteous and be the hallelujahs who's going to receive the wealth, we need to know what righteous means. And the righteous, may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. So the righteous rejoice before God. These are part of righteousness. These are all the mantle that the righteous people carry. They rejoice before God. And Habakkuk 3 verse 17, it says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen. How many know this is not good? This is bad. It's like, you know, there's no grapes on the vine, there's no olive crop. This is not good. Yet, what does the prophet say? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He made my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. How many know it's not good what he's going through? I mean, there's nothing. Nothing is going on. It's like desert. Some of us, we may be going through a desert. Lord, nothing is happening right now. Where are you? We might be feeling that he's not with us, but the reality is that he's with us because he's the Lord and he does not change. And he said he's going to be with us forever and ever and ever. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I don't feel like you are with me, but I know that he's with me because his word says so. And Habakkuk knows his God. Do we know our God? And God, I want to know you more. I don't know him enough. I need to know him more. I mean, look at that. This is not a good scene. Nothing is growing. Do you think it's a good scene? Nothing is, you don't, it's not, the green is not, the grass is not green. Sorry, the green is not grass. Okay, what is that? The grass is not green. And yet, the prophet, he said, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. So I encourage you. Things might not be going the way you wish. But you know what? Choose to rejoice. Choose to rejoice. God, I choose to rejoice because I know my God, this is just temporary. It's going to change. It has to change. But if I choose not to rejoice, what is going to happen? The enemy say, oh, I've got a buddy. Let's walk, honey, and let's go. And you know what? Sometimes when things go wrong, we like to go with somebody who's going to say, yeah, it's not good. I mean, come on. Yeah, what happened? Please don't. Go to someone who will tell you, honey, this is not the word of God. You know, when you're down, you tend to like people to be under with you. Oh, yes, I'm so sorry you're like that. Oh, really, you know what? I don't know. I've been praying for you too. I don't know what's happening. No, please don't do that. When we're down, look for someone who say, honey, we know our God. He's never failed. He never failed. He cannot fail you. He will not fail you. I don't see it right now, but he will not fail you because he will not lie to his word. He cannot lie. You know when you program a computer and that computer has to do this, 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 and that? The computer cannot do something else if it hasn't been programmed for that. And now God, the Almighty God, if he say, I am the Lord and I do not change and I do not lie, he cannot lie. What are the things that are changing? Is the programming that is changing. So we need to check, what is the programming? What did we program in us that we're not getting there? That need to be changed. So I really encourage you, be like the prophet Habakkuk. Even though the things are not going well, rejoice always. And now I'm going to talk about the second one. Pray continually. Pray continually. Two key words as well. The first one is rejoice. Not just rejoice. Just rejoice is fine. Rejoice always. The second one is pray continually. That is key. So when you meditate, Rejoice always. What does that mean, Lord God? Meditate on the word day and night. And you send your word, Father God, that you know what? The tree, we are like a tree planted by the water, and then we were going to bear fruit. Meditate on it and ask him to help you, to teach you how to rejoice so that we can continue to bear fruit. So pray continually. What does pray continually mean? Like I usually, like, you know, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. I mean, like, come on, Pastor. I've got a life to live, okay? I have to go out and work. I've got kids to change diapers. I've got laundry to do. I've got garbage to take out. I need to go to the grocery store. I need to get food on the table. Are you telling me to stop all that and just pray continually? I believe what he's saying here is that to have this attitude like, God, you know what? My trust is in you. Your trust is in him. You continually depend on him. He is your source. He is your life. In him, you live and move and have your being. That's why pray continually means. That means you have a relationship. You know, I'm married to John. Not when I go and eat at somebody's place, I'm not married anymore. I'm the mother of two girls. It doesn't mean that when I go and work, I'm not the mother of the two girls. We are a Christian. God live in us. When we go and work, we are a Christian. God live in us. We pray continually. He's in us. When I go and I get something in the store, that God who I serve, who live in us, is here. He doesn't go out. He might not like some of the places where I go. He might not like some of the things that I do, but he's my God. You know, you may be married to someone. You might be going through a rough situation, but you're still the other person's wife or husband. Do you understand what I mean? So pray continually. It's like, God, you are in me. You are like, I depend on you. Me and you, we are partner. So wherever we go, whatever we do, God, what shall I do? What do you want me to do? That's what pray continually means. But also, there's a time where you can just take it aside and go and pray on your own with the Lord. But this is that sense of who God is. That's what I feel like God is saying. And you know, our lives, our nowadays, like when people do marketing, they say it's 30 seconds. How many like to watch a shopping channel? In 30 seconds, they have to explain the product, the price, and why you need it, and you absolutely need it. For sure you need it, or you'll die. You really need it. I mean, come on, this is a leather purse. It's like, okay, like as if I don't have a leather purse. But when I look at it, oh, yeah, I really need it. Look at the color. I mean, you can change the... It's like suddenly your mind is like, whoa. But you know what? Everybody who go in the shop, they just have a time limit to just... put it, because if they go too long, this is from Italy, you have to go to the village there, and they start explaining, everybody's like, oh, that's boring, I'm not buying that product. The way we've been trained is quick, fast, tell me what it is, I get it, and I'm happy. When it comes into the presence of God, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. It's like, wait upon the Lord, and you will find strength. It's like, hello? It's quick. Where's that quick thing? Like, if you read the word of God, our culture have trainers. I'm like that too. Okay, this advertising. Okay, what is it? What is it? Just tell me. You know what I mean? Like when you get your newspaper every week. Okay, let's check the flyer quickly. You know what? It's like, quick. We've been trained for that. But when it comes to the things of God, it's a little bit different. It's like, wait upon the Lord. You will find strength. Oh, wow. We like things that tickle our ears. He's like, I heard you. I'll do it. Don't worry. God, where are you? Please come quickly. Do you think God has failed any one of us? I don't think so. He might seem to be very late, very often in my prayer life. I don't know. He seems to be quite late. I wish he did it at 11 o'clock, but he did it at 5 before midnight. It's like, but he never late. We like it so quick. We need to change the way we look at things and say, God, your ways are much higher than our ways. Give us our eyes to be able to see. Because of the way we've been trained, because the way that we've been, we grew up, we want it to be the same when it comes to the kingdom of God. And this needs to change. So that we can go deeper. And so one of the case studies that I'm going to talk about, that is in slide number 13, I'm going to talk about Daniel. What happened is that Daniel, the king, had a decree. What was the decree all about? The decree is that people have to worship the king only. And not in no other god, just the king. That was the decree. What did Daniel do? Daniel went. As soon as he heard that, do you think it's a good news? That's not good for Daniel. How many know that if you serve a king, and if the king says you're not allowed to worship any other king, you are kaput, dead. What did Daniel do? The first thing that he did, he kneeled down. He went in his room, he kneeled down, and he started praying. Most of us, when we hear bad news, hello, can you please pray for me? Hallelujah. You know what? Most of us were like that. There's nothing wrong in calling your friend to pray. I call my friend, oh, you know what? Can you please pray for me? I'm going. We all do that. It's good to have people to pray for you. It's very good to have people to pray for you. One chest, 1,000, two chests, 10,000, three chests, I don't know how many thousand. But you know what? The thing is that, what is our first reaction, most of us, when trouble comes? We want to bring somebody else to come and help us. Look at Daniel. What did he do? The first thing that he did when he got the news, he went in his room and he go on his knees and he started praying. And did you know that Daniel already have a lifestyle? He prayed three times a day minimum. His lifestyle will already be the lifestyle were already here before problem happened. Because things will come. Are we ready for that? We need to prepare ourselves for what is happening. Because what we're going to go through is going to be good after. It just, he already had that lifestyle. The Jews have that lifestyle. They pray three times a day. A lot of people pray. The Muslims pray. They have a lifestyle of praying. We've been Christian for 20 years, 5 years, 1 year, 1 month. Do we have a lifestyle of praying? If we don't, God help me. Help me to be able to pray. We can pretend to be Christian, but at the end of the day, only God knows our heart. And he wants to bring us back. That's why this year, the theme is about the presence of God. Yes, we need to have godly friend with us. Yes, we need to have godly friend who stand with us. But yes, we need to be able to pray on our own as well, on our knees, and cry out to the Lord. And because of that, the lion didn't eat him. Because of that, the lion will not be able to eat us. We will taste so bad, he will not be able to eat us. I like it. That we taste so bad that he come to us, that is bad. I don't want that. You know what? The enemy will come to us and look at us. I don't want to touch that one. That one is a prayer warrior. I cannot touch that one. Because I can't. They're going to throw up. So I encourage you to be like Daniel and to be able to do that. What did Daniel do when he started praying? He was grateful. Daniel 6 verse 10, he was grateful. Most of us will not be grateful when we get a news like that. God, where are you? I've been praying to you all this time. Where are you? Do you realize how much I've been giving to you? Every month I give my tithes and offering, and now you're telling me this is happening. God, where are you? There's nothing wrong to go to God and talk like that from time to time. But what I'm saying is that this guy have carried a culture of thankfulness in his heart. So where are we going that we need to change? We need to have a thankful heart. We need to be able to pray. And his adversary knows that he's a man of prayer. Does people know us for a long time? Do they know that we pray? Do they know that we pray, or we're like, you know what? This is work. Like, I mean, you know, I'm a Christian, yes, but I don't want to be too Christianized there, because it's like, come on, you know, I might lose my job. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not asking you to go and preach when you're supposed to work, because I've seen that a lot of time, you know, like Christian, you go to work, you have to have good work ethic. You've got to work. When it's time to work, you're paid to work, you work. But when it's not time to work, Well, yeah, it's okay. You can go in the lunchroom and start talking, but not during your working hours. We have to have very good work ethic because, you know what? The world have good work ethic. Why don't we have that? We should be able to work. We should be able to do our job properly, you know? But also, we need to be able to show that, you know what? Christ lives in me. And I'm not perfect. I'm sure all of them will know that you're not perfect, but that's okay. But at least Christ lives in me. And I want to share that with you. So this is something. Pray continually. And now we're going to go into give thanks. The third one in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Again, key word. Pray continually. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know what? How many of you have been to that when the doctor came and he started having that beeper thing? It was very good, right? I was not there, but I heard it was very good. There's one lady in our church that because of her husband starting praising God and starting having that beeper. It's nothing about the beeper. It's about him praising God. The beeper help him, right? You can have a beeper and then go, dee, 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 whatever. You don't praise the Lord. Because you can go over it. People have told me after a while, you can actually, you know, we are trained in such a way that we can zoom out easily. We train to zoom out. Because if we were not trained to zoom out, we would have heard the voice of God. Many times we're like, shh, we don't hear. We keep going, right? So even if you have the beeper, you could, like, you can show that you're a little bit spiritual and have the beeper, but doesn't mean that you're doing it. It's the doing it. So he started to worship God. He started to really take it at heart. Every time that beeper thing come, guess what? He was able to go back to work. His wife doesn't have to work now. As a result of him start praising God. And he faithfully does it. Don't you think that is wonderful? Don't you think that is something that we want to do as well? So I encourage you, if you don't have a beeper, like, you know what? Just start your phone or something. Do something that will... If we keep doing what we're doing and want to change, this is insanity. You know the definition of insanity, right? So something needs to change. And this is one good thing where we can start doing that. So one of the things that we talk about is that give thanks in all circumstances. And the case study that I'm going to talk about will be, I'm going to talk about Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 24 to 26. What happened is that, we all know the story of Paul and Silas. What happened? The guy, they were falsely accused, and then they went into jail, and then they start praying, and when they start praying, what happened? The chain was loose, but why were they sent? Why were they falsely accused? They were falsely accused because they were preaching the gospel, and one lady who has a spirit of divinity who can predict the future started to follow Paul and Silas. And what happened? He's like, these men, oh, you know, if you follow them, they're teaching about salvation, and you will be saved. And what? Because she's got a spirit of divinity, she sees everything, right? So she sees that these men, was she saying something which is wrong? No, she was saying the truth, right? This time it was the truth. What did Paul say? Paul got annoyed at some point. He's like, lady, in the name of Jesus, go. Most of us would be like, whoa, what is that? He's not saying any bad thing about you. Why are you casting out that spirit? Paul had discernment. He's like, hello? You little lady, I know that what you're talking is not from God, even if you're saying what I'm preaching is God. He had a spirit of discernment, and he cast that spirit out. And then what happened? She was a servant. The Bible says she was a servant. And her master, when that spirit went out, she couldn't see anything. That she can't predict the future. She can't predict what she's seeing, I'm saying. The master got really upset. Because no money is coming in, because she was able to go to someone and say, you know, this is what is going to happen, blah, 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 and they will give them money. But now no money is coming in. He got really upset, so he sent people to go and to get Paul and Silas. That's how he went in jail. And the Bible says he got tortured before he even went to jail. And you know, some of the jail Joe will know, in Italy or in Israel, some of the jail are not like the jail that we have here where you can get your degree while in jail. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? This is not the jail that we're talking about. and get, you know, while it's snowing and you have to go and shovel the snow. They have people who will shovel the snow for them and it's warm. It's different jail. The jail, some of the jail are under, it's under the ground. That's what the jail looked like. They got beaten up and they went to jail and they start praising the Lord. I'm like, Lord, please help me. How many people will do that? How many of us will do that? I'm not sure if I will even do that unless if the grace of God come upon me. I will do that. They got beaten up, falsely accused. How many of us have been falsely accused? All of us at some point in our life. How do we retaliate? Paul and Silas, they got beaten up and they worship God in that cell. They worship God. Some of us, we've been falsely accused. Some of us, we've been beaten by life. Some of us have been, you know, we feel like we can't move on. But you know what? We continue to worship God. He continued to worship God. He continued to worship God. He continued to worship God. And as he worshiped, the Bible says, suddenly, he's a God of suddenly. Suddenly, we continue to worship God. We continue to worship God. We continue to worship God. And suddenly, the door will open. If you are like me, if I'm in jail under, the door open, I run for my life. They did not even go. They stayed. You know why? Because his mind is renewed. In his mind, he is not in jail. Who in their right mind, you are in jail under and the door open, you won't run. I think I'll be the first one running. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No. Have you seen the way they think? Have you seen Daniel, the way he think? His mind is renewed. Why did Paul not go? Why did he not go? The jailers came and want to kill himself. He said, oh my goodness, the door is open. I'm going to be in big trouble, so I'm going to kill myself before we get in trouble. Paul said, don't. I'm here, we are here. And he said, how am I going to receive Jesus? That's how he got saved and his whole family. For Paul, in his mind, this is where God has put me. I'm not in jail because you know what? I know who my God is. That's the way he look at things. When I read that, I'm like, God, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. When the prison door opened, I would be the first one going, Lord. And I would tell everyone, come follow me, let's go. And everyone would follow me. I'm like, why, Lord? Why is that, Lord? It's because we haven't renewed our mind enough. We haven't. First of all, the first whip that we will be getting, we will complain. They did not. They worship. The first whip, we were like, oh, what is that? So now what is happening? You know what I mean? We need to fight for our rights. And he humbled himself before the Lord and he kept praying. I said, God, 2012, help me. Help me to see the way Paul sees things. Because I don't see it. I see the result. I really like the result. I absolutely love the result. But when I go through that, I'm not acting the way you want me to act. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is very clear. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks to the Lord always. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God for us for 2012 and on. This is what God wants us to do. Isn't that a good verse that we need to meditate? How to pursue his presence? How to go further? And to give thanks to the Lord, again, it's a choice. I don't like choice. It's a choice. You don't realize where I am right now and you want me to thank the Lord for everything? If we choose to do that, things would start to spin in a different direction. I don't like praying. It's boring. I'm telling you, it's boring. I don't like praying. I sleep when I pray. It's okay if you sleep. We have to start somewhere. If we are Christian, I still sleep sometimes myself when I pray. It's okay. But we have to start somewhere. If your friend is not praying enough, I'm not saying that we need to be super spiritual. It's like, come on, you're a Christian and you're not praying. It's like, hello, listen, God is wooing us all to start to have a lifestyle of prayer. Did you know in the, like if you look at, God, I want revival so badly. You read all the revivalists, the meeting go on forever and ever. It's like, God, I want revival. Not this part, cut this one out. The meeting go on forever and ever. The worship is like, oh, I repent, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Read about them. I'm like, God, I need to change some of the ways that I've been brought. And I like to finish on time and to start on time. I like, this is my personality. I'm not saying I'm going to go until 1 o'clock and start. What I'm saying is that something needs to change in me and in you if we want a different result. I like the result in the Bible. I don't always walk the walk. But God, 2012, can you teach me? Can you teach me how to pray? Yes, I sleep when I pray, but this is time for me to change. If I'm a Christian and I'm going to worship you in eternity, I need to learn to do that here. But otherwise, we get bored in heaven to worship God for eternity if we can't even worship him for 10 minutes. It is true, I'm telling you. This is reality. So what I want to do is that I really want you to start asking God to help you. In Psalm 119, verse 36, it says, incline my heart to your testimony, to your instruction, and not to selfish gain. Incline my heart. David is asking God to incline his heart. He said, open my eyes in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes, Lord. One of the longest psalms in the Bible. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see your wonderful things. If God doesn't open your eyes, you don't see his wonderful things. You see only your problem. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see your wonderful thing. So you know what? I'm going to pray for you. We're going to stand and we're going to ask God. If I can get Robert to just play a little bit is that okay if we ask God? God, this is what we need to do in 2012. And we don't really know how to do it, but you're going to teach us how to do it. We're going to commit ourselves that, God, we cannot keep doing what we're doing and expect a different result. So we just come before you this morning, Father. I thank you that we're going into a new level of worship. As a congregation, we're going to a new level of worship. We want to be able to worship you, Father God, in spirit and in truth, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're taking us in that new level, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that as we choose to follow you, Lord God, as we choose your ways, because we know that your ways are much higher than our ways, Lord God, we will see things happen, Father God. We will see a shift in our life, Father God. We will see a shift in the things that happen in our lives. So, Father, we just ask you, Lord God, I'm not sure that I'm doing a good job at this part of my Christian life to worship you, to praise you, to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks to you. But would you help us, Father God? We choose this morning to let your word abide in us. You say, abide in me, and if I abide in you, good things are going to happen. So this morning, I choose. Just talk to the Lord. Say, Father, I choose to abide in you. I choose to continually rejoice and praise you. You say, rejoice always. Would you teach me how to rejoice when things doesn't seem to be fair? When things doesn't seem to be right in our eyes? Help us to rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, Father God. If our strength is taken away from us, it's not good. So you're teaching us to rejoice always. Help me, Lord God, to rejoice. Help me, Lord God, to pray continually. Help me to pray. Teach me how to pray just like you taught the disciple. Teach me, Lord God, how to pray. Teach me to be thankful, just like Daniel. Even when he heard the news, he went in his room, he went on his knee, and he prayed. And he was thankful. Teach us to have a thankful heart, Father God. And Father God, we repent as a congregation if we have not been thankful to you, Father God, in any way. We repent of that, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Teach us to be thankful people. Help us to remember to make this a priority in my life, Father. Wake us up, shake us up, stir up us up, Father God. Father, I choose to live a lifestyle of pursuing you by rejoicing, praying, and being thankful, because this is your will, Father God. You said that this is your will, and we want to be in your perfect will, Father God. So this morning, Father God, we acknowledge that we want to be in your will, Father God. We know that things are going to change 2012. We know that you're taking us to the next level, Lord God. So would you teach us as a congregation, when we see our brothers and our sisters down, that we will take them by the hand and say, come on, we need to pray. We need to move forward. We need to do it. We need to go. Don't see it as a prison, but see it what God is here, who our God is. Just like Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, they did not see it as a jail. They know who their God is. Father, I thank you for opportunities for us to be able to break through, Lord God. I thank you for this word this morning. I just pray, Lord God, that every word that I've spoken, that it will go on good soil, Father God, on each one of us. That today, Father God, when we go home, Lord God, we will cry out to you, Father God. We will hunger after your presence and say, and meditate on your word, Father God. That this week we will meditate how to rejoice always. How to give thanks in all circumstances. How to pray continually, Lord God. So, Father, would you help us this morning? And I thank you for this word, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, as we learn your ways and your discipline and your goodness and your mercy will follow us all the days of our life, Father God. And I bless you to receive his goodness and his mercy, that it will not only follow you, but it will follow you and your children's children, and everyone around you, in Jesus' name. Amen.